Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
My guest today, Frank Turek, has done substantial speaking on campuses and writing as well on the issues of apologetics. And Frank, you're welcome again to the Lions Den.
Great to be here, Glenn.
And you are speaking on this subject of I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. And we talked about that last time as why there is a challenge to come up with a view of atheism, mm-hmm. why it can be intellectually credible at all mm-hmm. if you eliminate the basis of the mind and thinking and a rational universe. Where does all that come from?
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk in this section more about, first of all, a little bit about what kind of responses you're getting on the campuses.
Well, as I say, we get different responses on different campuses. In terms of crowds, we get anywhere from just over 100 to over 500, and it really just depends on how we market it, sometimes even more. We were at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. We had over 700, and mm-hmm. NC State once we had 1,500. It really just depends on the group and how they promote it. But as I say, you get everybody from atheist to Christian showing up, and mm-hmm. it's always a lively event. If you call something, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, and put that on campus, everybody's going to show up. And so that's what we get. We get a lot of interaction on campus, and there's a buzz after we're gone as well. And so it's something that we've been doing now for, let's see, probably about 8 or 9 years.
Right.
And we've been to hundreds of schools, so
great.
We're just going to keep doing it.
Excellent, excellent. And it's needed because, as we shared before, you know, much of the university education is an indoctrination program, and
that's
much
right.
of it is against Christianity and the Bible and the mm-hmm. and the teachings of Jesus. And so they need to at least hear both sides.
Sure, and when they argue against the Christian worldview, they're actually stealing from God to argue against him, as we pointed out. I mean, when they say that, for example, one of the arguments they bring up against God, as you know, Glenn, is evil. You know, if there's a good
right.
God, why is there evil in the world? The problem is that evil wouldn't exist unless good existed, and good wouldn't exist unless God existed.
Sure.
So evil is actually a backhanded argument for God, not an argument against God. So when they say there's too much evil in the world, they're actually proving God exists while they're saying he doesn't exist.
Right, okay. And you know, what is the basis of good and evil?
Mm-hmm.
Most people that are claiming atheism, agnosticism today in America, they are wanting to steal the good values of Christianity but
sure.
reject the basis of those
course.
Values.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, anybody out there is arguing for rights, there are no rights if there is no God. I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on. If you think you have a right to something, if there's no God, you don't have a right to anything. It's just your opinion. See, rights come from something beyond human beings, an authoritative moral source, and that's what we mean by God. So if you think you have a right to anything, a right to life, a right to speech, a right to religion, whatever it is, you can only ground that in God. If there's no God, it's just your opinion.
Right. Okay. And so there's kind of an inconsistency there?
Yes, a very big inconsistency.
That's
what I cover in the new book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. So we kind of combine those two books, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist and Stealing from God, and we go to a college campus.
Right.
And we say, look, if you really want to dive into this material, here are a couple of books that can help you do it.
When you have the question-answer sessions, what are some of the most common questions that you're getting?
There are four basic categories of questions, Glenn, and these four basic categories are on our app, the Cross-Examined app. So we have a quick answer section on our app that goes through some of the answers to the most common questions. And the four categories are, they all begin with the letter E. We call them the four E's. When you present a positive case for Christianity, you're going to get pushback in four areas: evil, ethics, evolution, and eternity. Evil, ethics, evolution, and eternity. So the one we just mentioned, if God, why evil? You'll get that
right.
question.
Sure.
Second question, like say ethics, why did God kill the Canaanites in the Old Testament? You know, or what does God have against homosexuality? That's a big topic, right, on college campuses now. Evolution, you know, is evolution true? And if it is true, what is that? Does that mean God doesn't exist? Of course, even if evolution were true, it wouldn't mean God doesn't exist. In fact, you'd need God to create the natural laws which allow natural selection to work, you know, create
right.
and sustain the natural laws. But we get questions on evolution. And then eternity questions are questions like, What about those that have never heard? Will God send me to hell just because I don't believe in Jesus? Why did God create people he knew would go to hell? Questions like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those are the biggies.
Right.
And sometimes you usually get the age of the universe question too. You know, mm-hmm. how old's the universe? That's a big one.
Okay.
So those four basic categories, and again, they're all on our app, the Cross-Examined app. If you click on the Cross-Examined app, quick answer section, you can see it. It's all free. You can download it.
Excellent. Okay. And we hope that perhaps there are some listeners who have a lot of questions. And the thing people need to realize, and even Christians, young people, that there's relatively few questions that haven't already been asked many, many times.
That's right. You probably get the same 10 basic questions 90% of the time. The other questions you get fall in the 10% category. So 90% of the questions are going to be in one of those four categories I just mentioned.
And Christians have satisfactory answers. For example, what about the Bible? Mm-hmm. Can that be relied upon? Mm-hmm. Why would you say, you know, you have enough faith to believe the Bible, but you don't have enough faith to be an atheist?
Right. Well, that's what we do in the I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist seminar. We go through four basic questions to show that the Bible is true. The first question is, does truth exist? The second, does God exist? The third question is, are miracles possible? And the fourth question is, the New Testament historically reliable? If you have evidence to answer each one of those questions, yes, truth, God, miracles, New Testament, then Christianity necessarily follows. So we categorize the case in those four questions, truth, God, miracles, New Testament.
Okay. And I'm assuming, too, that a lot of these answers are found in your books as well.
Of course. Yeah. But when you're on a campus or when you're doing a presentation, you can't go into that kind of detail. So.
Right.
A lot of the details in the books, but we kind of give a highlight overview of the evidence in those four categories or those four questions, truth, God, miracles, New Testament.
Okay. And about the person of Jesus Christ, I think another issue that we find on campuses is how can he claim to be unique or exclusionary, that he's the only way to heaven.
Right.
How do you answer that?
Well, that's an eternity question, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. is Jesus the only way?
Right. Right.
Well, first of all, let me point out it's not unique to Christianity. Every worldview thinks it's the only way. I mean, Islam thinks it's the only way. Surah 533 says if you're not a Muslim, you're going to be in hellfire, right? In fact, atheists think there's only one way. What's the one way? Well, when you die, you're just going to become worm food. You don't even have a choice.
Right.
In Christianity, you have a choice. You can be with God or not be with God in the afterlife. So every worldview is exclusionary. The only question is which worldview is true. And I think the Christian worldview is true, and because it's true because Jesus came to earth as the sinless substitute to take our sins on himself. I mean, if God is just, and he is, then he can't allow sin to go unpunished. So what does he have to do in order to allow sinners not to be punished? He has to punish somebody else in our place, and the only innocent person he can find was himself. So that's why Jesus is the only way. It's not an arbitrary claim. It's based in the very nature of justice, that God has to be just. That's why Paul says in Romans 3:26, so as to be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God is just by punishing sin, but he's also the justifier by punishing Jesus in our place and allowing us not to be punished.
Right, and that's an amazing offer, isn't it?
To have the creator of the universe put on human flesh and enter the time-space continuum to save those who rebelled against him is amazing. I mean, that's really what Christianity is about. It's the greatest story ever told for a reason. It's true.
Right. And some scholars who have tried to investigate it have become Christians in the process, and some of the atheists are coming to Christ.
Sure.
What kind of response have you had interaction with professors that are either hostile or appreciate your
Sure. Yeah, on occasion, you'll get professors that'll admit, well, one of our first events went from atheism to agnosticism, so he's moving in the right direction.
Right.
Yeah. But as you mentioned earlier, it's very hard for professors who are in a hostile environment 24/7 to admit now they're Christians. So you don't always get professors saying, oh, no, I'm a Christian. Obviously, it takes a long period of time. It's usually not one event that does it. It's a series of events that may culminate an event, but a series of seeds are planted. As Paul says someone plants, someone else waters, but God brings the increase.
Sure. And you're sowing a lot of seeds.
Sure.
And, others are there doing the same thing.
Right.
Ravi Zacharias,
sure,
and Josh McDowell and others,
yes,
that speak on campuses,
mm-hmm,
and have spoken on campuses.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are examples. No one is too far for the Holy Spirit to convict
not.
Them.
Yeah.
And we've had John Sanford on our program,
sure,
a former atheist, Cornell professor, mm-hmm, and former evolutionist, now believes mm-hmm, not only in Christ as his Savior, but God as the Creator. We had a woman professor at Penn State, was an agnostic who slipped back into atheism, she said, from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And through the film The Passion of Christ, she was brought under a challenge to consider who is mm-hmm Jesus, and finally came to know Christ as her Savior. And down your way, haven't met him yet, is a professor at the University of North Carolina, believe it's Steve Adams, who...
Mike Adams, yeah. Mike and I do some work together, as a matter of fact. He's in Wilmington, along with Jim Wallace, who is the cold case homicide detective who wrote Cold Case Christianity and the new book, God's Crime Scene. He was an atheist.
Okay.
And became a Christian by looking at the evidence. So there's plenty of that going on.
Right.
And now Jim and Mike and myself do a Fearless Faith conference at churches around the country. All the details are on our website, crossexamine.org. So, yeah, there's plenty of former atheists who have become Christians, and for good reason. If you really take an honest look at the evidence, it's true. And one of the questions we ask that I want to get in here, Glenn, particularly on a college campus, is this. The question is, if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian?
Mm.
In fact, that's a question to ask anybody who's not a believer. Why?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they'll hesitate or say no. Why? Because they're not really interested in there being a God. They don't want there to be a God. See,
right,
most people are not on a truth quest. They're on a happiness quest.
Sure.
They're going to believe whatever's going to make them happy.
Right.
And so you have to expose that and say, look, are you really open to this? And many of them will admit, no, I don't want there to be a God. Why? Because I want to be God.
Right.
I don't want people telling me. I don't want God to tell me what to do.
Sure.
I want to do my own thing.
Right.
Right? So a lot of times it's not an intellectual issue. It's a volitional issue. But asking the question, if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian, exposes that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question.
Uh-huh.
Because ultimately, Christianity is not an intellectual issue that you decide on the basis of, you know, whether you have studied it enough or not. It's an issue of the heart. Are you,
yes,
willing to accept God's truth? And then you find out, you know, you can have any intellect and accept it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's an intellectual qualification that you have to be so smart or you don't have to be smart. It's anybody can accept
anybody
Christ.
Can, yeah. It's not like getting into heaven's like getting into Harvard. Right?
Right.
But you do have to have, there's two elements of faith. There's belief that and belief in. Belief that is intellectual, belief in is volitional. I mean,
right,
after you know that it's true, then you trust in it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there who know that it's true, but they don't trust in it.
Right.
Because they don't want to trust in Jesus because they want to be their own person. They don't want to give up their autonomy.
Well, and this college campus is a environment where the temptations are great.
Of course.
And,
yeah,
the lifestyle is not a Christian lifestyle,
right,
in general, and they have to make a real decision of,
right,
change your mind, repent.
That's right.
And accept God's standards.
People don't want to do that.
And so there's more than, even though you have the answers, I think what we want to say is that all the questions are pretty much been asked. There are satisfactory answers for anybody who wants answers. But ultimately, are you willing to accept Christ as your Savior?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, you know, the other things will fit in place.
Yeah, and if not, God won't force you into heaven against your will.
Amen. Amen.
If you don't want him now, you're not going to want him in eternity. That's why there is a hell.
And my guest has been Frank Turek with the Cross-Examined Ministry and an author of several books presenting the apologetic view of Christianity, that it's reasonable and it's great. And anyone ought to accept Christ as their Savior.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And
thanks,
that's
Glenn,
our message here at the Lion's Den. Thanks again, Frank, for being with us.
Thank you, Glenn.
You have been listening to the Lion's Den University Reports. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lion's Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844, or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.